On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we break down the first round of the NFL Draft and get the Bengals pick announced to us in real time so you'll hear our live reaction. We also go off on a slight tangent about the NBA playoffs. Our fantasy draft this week is of busts, paying homage to the first round picks that don't pan out. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is April 27th, and the NFL offseason is officially dead.
Welcome back right. to football.
It's about time.
We can start talking mini camps. We can start talking rookie camps, OTAs, everything.
Talk about Le'Veon not showing up. That's always interesting.
Talk about how good the one-armed dude looks in camp.
Yeah,
wherever he ends up getting drafted, best shape. Yeah, I can't wait to hear how great the shape the aging veterans are when they come into camp, and how big of a leadership role all the young guys stepped up and took right away from the rebuilding franchises like the Jets, and I'm sure there'll be some drama surrounding Eli in New Orleans, especially once Dez signs there, which I'm sure I'm going to go ahead and break that news. Dez is going to sign with the Giants this week, but.
We'll get that classic Dalton's talking more.
Right. I was going to say, I can't wait to see how much more vocal Andy is this year.
Dalton's we're going to run on our own gas this year. Dalton's being more vocal.
You know, I'm already seeing trouble in paradise, Witty, with Cleveland. They drafted Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward from Ohio State, Oklahoma. They had that big tiff in the regular season this past year in college football. So trouble in paradise in Cleveland.
Yeah. I think they're just kind of hedging their bets because I think both of those guys in that game had their strong points, and obviously Baker came out ahead in the end. But they want to get the best of both worlds there. I don't foresee Baker Mayfield getting to plant his flag anywhere anytime soon.
Well, it's grass though in Cleveland, so at least it'll stick.
It won't
just fall like it did in Ohio Stadium when it just fell down. But that Yeah, that was interesting. That was an interesting first and fourth pick. I know. The guys on NFL Network, Mike Mayock, for most of the part, was talking like, wasn't necessarily bashing on their draft picks, just saying they filled what they needed. It didn't necessarily mean they got the best players that are there. If I needed a quarterback, I probably would have taken at least Darnold, probably Allen, maybe even Rosen before I would have taken Mayfield. I thought Mayfield was someone that was going to get a steal in the mid.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Mayfield was going to end up sliding to, like, 7 to 15.
Right.
And someone either trading up to get him or him falling into someone's lap. But, I mean, and then earlier this morning, or earlier Thursday, all of a sudden it came out like, oh, by the way, it looks like the Browns are going to take Baker Mayfield. And it was a little late in the process to throw a smoke screen, so everyone started to believe it, so... I don't know. I don't know. That's just a weird, weird thing.
Well, the other thing about Cleveland is, Ward is obviously the best corner in the draft, but taking him at 4 is, that's kind of a stretch.
That's what they kept saying. Yeah, they kept saying that's definitely a reach.
I think that's one of those situations where if that's the guy you want, you take him when you can.
Yeah.
If you can't find someone that's willing to trade up.
Sure.
There's not really much you can do there, but I agree. I think he's definitely the best cornerback in the draft, but I don't think he's the fourth best player in the draft.
Yeah.
They could have found someone to come back to the 7 or 8 spot and give them their fourth pick. I think that's what the Browns, it would have been ideal and maybe pick up an extra second round pick.
But
it would have been hilarious if somehow the Patriots used one of their 2 first round picks to jump all the way up there and get one of the big quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been, but I don't know. I think the Patriots will do what the Patriots do in the late first round, and they're going to get steals, guys that don't necessarily have to play right away, but they're going to end up being, you know, those better than
deceptively quick receivers.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but yeah, we'll see. Another team that a lot of people are saying could end up getting a quarterback, maybe not in the first round, unless the perfect situation came along. The Packers, just because of Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers isn't young anymore, and it doesn't seem like the relationship's the greatest right now. But they just traded out of their pick. The Saints jumped up and took their spot, and the Packers fell back to 27. So we'll see what happens there. It's kind of hard to keep track of all the different trades and stuff that are going on right now. But
you know, one of the surprising things I saw was with Buffalo moving up to select Josh Allen. Yeah. You know, it tells you that they're still not sold on, you know, the Bengals' old backup being there. Yeah. And, you know, Nathan Peterman, who they selected in the draft just last year. So, I mean, McCarron's there now, but it's obvious that they don't think he's the franchise guy because they went ahead and they traded up to number 7 to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trouble, you know, maybe AJ will be the backup again.
Yeah, that is going to be so hilarious. It makes me smile just because of all the McCarronites in Cincinnati.
It's funny because you have a similar situation in Cleveland.
Right.
They just picked Mayfield, but they just got Tyrod Taylor in the offseason. They shipped out Kaiser after a year and snagged Tyrod Taylor. So I don't know if it's one of those deals where you let Tyrod Taylor, you know, take the reins for a year or two and let Baker Mayfield learn under him. And I don't know what they'll do. I think whatever they'll do, it'll be the wrong choice because it's Cleveland. But,
right.
It's interesting seeing that in Cleveland and that in Buffalo where they're kind of in the same situation.
Yeah.
And I'll say we goof about the Browns a lot, but actually that's probably not a bad situation to be in with Tyrod because they're similar quarterbacks. It's a good person for him to sit behind if they don't decide to start Baker right away. To say, you know, one positive thing about him, it's really not a horrible situation to be in.
They're going to end up fucking it up by like,
oh yeah, they will
rotating him out throughout the season. They'll go like two games Tyrod, two games Baker, and just back and forth and just screw both of them.
Yeah. What they're going to do Tyrod is get whatever his name is in the second round, the kid from Oklahoma State. They'll end up drafting him and then having a QB controversy over three average quarterbacks.
Or Hogan all making a. Is Hogan still with them?
I don't even know who they have anymore. They were shuffling quarterbacks like crazy earlier this offseason.
Yeah.
It kind of surprised me that Cleveland didn't take Barkley with the number one pick and then just take whichever quarterback was left at 4.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed that they were going to do with because, I mean, none of these quarterbacks are what you would think of as a franchise guy.
No.
You know, they may develop into that eventually, but no one was a clear number one this year, which is why it was so interesting with the 5 guys that are on the board. Yep. But seeing Cleveland take, it was definitely a surprise to see Baker go 1, but I thought Barkley and then just whoever's left over at 4,
mm-hmm.
take your guy.
Yeah, and nothing's ever gone wrong drafting a Penn State running back number 1, so I don't know why they wouldn't just go ahead and do that.
Yeah,
And I'll say this, you know, kind of speaking to what DB was saying, this isn't a year where there is a clear-cut franchise guy, so that's why even, like, the Bengals at 21, you're hearing the Lamar Jackson stuff.
Yeah.
It's because whoever you take this year is a project, and you're building for the future.
But that's not to say they don't have the potential talent to be franchise quarterbacks.
No, definitely more not. Just, no, definitely
nobody
not.
Was head over heels above or head and shoulders above anyone else. It wasn't like, no, all right,
definitely.
Well,
this isn't like a Peyton Manning year. This isn't a Carson year. This
Ryan Leaf year, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and up until a couple years ago, quarterbacks weren't supposed to start right away. No, that was always the plan. You drafted a guy, and for the most part, unless they were just, you know, out of this world playmakers, they usually weren't ready, and the teams weren't ready to throw them out there. But nowadays, it's a win now. Next year doesn't matter until, you know, we're out of it, and then we'll start planning for next year.
Yeah,
you see a lot of pressure for these guys to come in and start right away.
That's definitely changed in, like, probably the last 8 or 10 years. Like, that you've seen that change where, you know, these guys come in and they're just expected to win right away, and a lot of them aren't ready to do that yet.
Yep. No.
They're not all Andy Daltons.
That's right.
Took Andy Dalton, like, what, 5 or 6 years to not make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
First 5 years.
Yeah,
he's trending in the wrong direction right now.
Yep. He's actually he's the opposite of Carson right now.
Right. But once we shore up that offensive line in the draft, I think we'll see a different Andy Dalton in 2018.
See what happens. Maybe
you're here first. Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl
at some point
by 50.
I just hope in our lifetime.
Probably over the Patriots too.
In our lifetime, it would all make it worth all the pain if either the Reds or the Bengals won something.
Bengals or Reds did win something in our lifetime,
but for us to remember it.
Of all the teams I root for, the Bengals are last on my list that I want to win anything. Just because they've pissed me off so much in my life, I'd be fine with them winning it, but I would rather have any of the other teams win.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just take all of them. Let's just sweep it, title town.
Yeah.
What we need is a weird rally cry, like an imprisoned rapper to rally around. I don't know.
I know.
Can we get Nick Lachey thrown in jail?
that scene in Philly with Meek Mill, like, and that it was hilarious. The old Takes Exposed guy, like, digging up his old tweets about being a Heat fan now. And someone on my timeline posted a picture of him in like a Lakers outfit. And yep. I mean, it's just, well, you know, I know we're focusing on the NFL draft tonight, but the NBA playoffs have been pretty entertaining so far. I know we don't want to talk about NHL tonight because Whit might cry, but. The NBA playoffs.
I have no tears left to cry.
No, they're all gone now.
Yeah. Well, I said on Twitter, I like the only team, the last team to win like a playoff, advanced in the second round of the playoffs in my lifetime that I root for, or not the only, but the last one was the Reds in like 95, I think.
Yeah.
But I have no memory of that. I mean, I was 9, but I don't really remember it.
Right.
So like, I literally have no memory of any playoff success. So I don't know what that's like, and maybe one day we'll get to experience.
I guess
that.
Professional sports aren't for you, but I mean, you know, the Buckeyes for you have been very successful in your teenage and adult years.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just going to be expected,
right?
Yeah, I know, but professional sports has been a different story.
That's true. You should have hopped on the Lakers bandwagon with me when I was like 13. You could have ridden some 5 championships. It's been pretty fun.
I know. I've just never been able to get into the NBA. Maybe one of these days.
You can just be a LeBron fan.
I know Max is a huge Nuggets fan now.
We're not really on speaking terms anymore.
Yeah.
Plus the Pacers are taking a shot at my heart. If the Pacers tweeted me tomorrow, I'd probably have to break up with the Nuggets. Especially the way if they take the
Cavs
to 7 games and win it in Cleveland for LeBron's last game.
I hate the Jordan LeBron comparisons, but that shot LeBron made,
I'll say,
that was exactly the way
the Cavs
Jordan
won
shot
game
against
five.
The Cavs. Like,
I could see that just being a backbreaker for Indy. I could see them just coming out flat in Game 6 and the Cavs taking it.
I hate LeBron,
the Cavs getting
but
swept
that shot
by the Raptors.
Awesome.
Well, I also like how the NBA came out today and were like, yeah, that entire end of the game was a complete clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah.
They admitted that
for sure.
They admitted it was goaltending. They admitted that the ball was actually out on the Pacers, the possession before that, but then they also admitted that LeBron traveled before that. So it should have been traveling Pacers ball, and none of that stuff would have happened.
Yeah. So the thing that I think is bullshit is that goaltending play is only reviewable if the goaltend is called. So, like, they can overturn the goaltending rule only if they already called goaltending on it. So if they just let the call go, then they can't review it at all, which I think is kind of bullshit.
And, yeah, that's stupid how it's only, like, reviewable to, you know, if it was the call on the court or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was stupid. And as soon as it happened, I was like, that ball hit the backboard before LeBron got it. Like, it was right there. And the way LeBron peacocked after that fucking game, like, I just, you can make the LeBron Jordan comparisons all day, but I swear to God, you would have never seen, you saw Jordan like jump up the one time, and he may have jumped on the scores table once, but I don't know if that was
he jumped on the scores table after a fucking championship, not a game 5 win in the first round.
Yeah. But you didn't see, like, LeBron was like, he looked like someone in a concert, and Like, he was like, they're all here to watch me perform right now. Like, yeah. No, it's celebrate with your team. Don't go over to the scores table and buy your fucking talc powder and, like, start doing all kinds of stupid shit. But yeah, I mean, that has a lot to do with the NFL draft, so. But no, that whole game was just a, like, whole game was just terrible. That was annoying. This isn't the last thing we'll talk about the NBA playoffs before we get back to the draft, but I've never seen a review for a possible technical on a jump ball get turned into a foul called on the other player and give the Cavs the ball.
Yeah.
That made no sense at all either. It's like they were reviewing to see if Jeff Green punched Lance Stephenson.
Right.
And then it turned into, oh, by the way, Lance Stephenson actually fouled him, so we're going to give him the ball.
I didn't even know that shit was possible.
No, I don't think it is.
When he got tied up for...
possible, according to Kevin Garnett.
I think they did it under the guise that they said, and like, I guess, you know, they do like the ref report, whatever it's called. Like, what do they call it? It's like a debriefing of the refs where they explain certain calls for the reporter pool. The ref pool. Yeah. I think they call it the refs pool or something. Ref pool or something like that. And I want to say that they made some sort of, you know, comment about one ref actually called it a jump ball. The other one called it a foul. So in that case, it goes to the foul.
They go review it. Gotcha. Okay.
But I think that was the explanation after the fact. I don't think they went to the table because they had one guy saying foul, one guy saying jump ball. I think they went to the table saying, hey, there might be a punch thrown here.
Yeah.
And came back with the explanation like, well, actually, that was a foul. So, hey, guess what? Steve, you called a foul. You didn't actually call jump ball. That's my theory.
That goddamn Steve.
Steve. As an anti-LeBron conspiracy theorist, that's what I think happened.
Steve the pirate? We have a guy on our team that dresses like a pirate?
Oh, hey, look, there's Steve.
Shit.
So. Yep, that's what I'm looking forward to Friday night, though. Or I guess tonight when you're listening to this will be the Raptors play game 6 against the Wizards. And so they can close that out possibly. And then the Pacers play in Cleveland tonight also. So I'm looking forward to both those games.
Nice.
Yeah, John Wall versus Drake.
And, of course, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft.
Ooh.
Yeah, buddy.
That's where you get those real difference makers, those everyday players.
Yeah. So real salt of the earth guys.
I'm
Tom Brady's.
I'm ultimate salt bay on this whole thing. Like I'm still bitter the fact that they don't do the all day Saturday and then finish up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
The trips that we used to make to Indianapolis for that. We did it a couple years in a row. Like that was it was great. It was like, I think the 1 year, I don't even remember. Well, I mean, it's when we saw Jay Cutler. That's the one time we saw. That
fucking prick.
But we, But the other times, I mean, it was like we went up there, we drank our faces off, we watched the draft, and then we went out to the bars, woke up, and I think, what did they do? Usually like 6, 7, and 8 on. Or was it 5, 6, and 7? Or 5, 6, and 7 on Sunday? 1 through 4
on Saturday. Yeah, 5, 6, and 7 on Sunday. Yeah. Yep. In college, I would literally watch like every single pick of the draft. Like now, I don't even watch all of the Bengals picks. Like I'm like, all right, I'll watch the first round and then I'll get text updates or Twitter updates. Like,
still in it. I watch everything.
Well, the
wife already knows I'm not anywhere to be found this weekend.
Oh.
Don't touch me.
Hefe wears the pants in that relationship.
At least on here.
Jumping off to the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
he's just waiting for his name to get called.
I know. Exactly. I'm still waiting.
Do you feel stupid paying the registration fee every year still?
Yeah. I don't even get invited to the combine. That's bullshit. They don't want an aging, fat, former O-lineman.
Speaking of old guys doing the combine, and this is another very on-topic thing, but, you know, it is what it is while we're trying to kill time for the Bengals pick to come up. But I saw somebody, Nick is bringing back Double Dare. And, let's go. First reported by our buddy Clem over at Barstool Sports. Nice. And they, I saw someone propose the idea on his timeline that they should bring back all of the game shows from that era and let all of us, the people that grew up on them, like the out of shape old dads, compete and do those things. Like, can you imagine one of our big asses trying to do the little wheel, like the little, like the sit down bikes on Global Guts? Yeah, or like trying to do the aggro crag, or like,
so
you know, I would fucking truck somebody in Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah,
like
one of the freaking temple guards. Oh, dude.
Wouldn't stand a chance. Yeah.
It would be the illegal tackle rule for the NFL this year. I just put the crown on my helmet right in his chest.
So you referenced Clem's blog where he talked about that. At the end of it, he ranked his all time favorite.
No, I know.
His all time favorite like Nickelodeon game shows, and he had Legends of the Hidden Temple at 4 and called it overrated.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Like what? I have a tie for first between Guts and Legends of the Hidden Temple. Like
Guts was
those two are the shit.
Awesome. Yeah.
The only reason I didn't want to do Double Dare because even as a young child I was afraid I would slip on that floor.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know how nobody like ever didn't they didn't eat it.
Like, as an adult, I mean, they did. They just never got seriously injured, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, as an adult, that terrifies me. But as a 12-year-old or whatever I was legitimately scared of that. And, I mean, I guess that's just the life I lived at that point. But
and I'm just sitting over here crying because I didn't have cable.
So one of our, I think, favorite traditions or things that goes along with draft day is declaring players busts after slow starts. I think... Nowadays, I think people are too quick to label guys busts and people move on. But, you know, there's definitely some very notable been some notable busts in draft history. I think everyone probably has Ryan Leaf up there at the top. But in honor of, you know, just the whole draft process and in the history of busts throughout the draft, we have a fantasy draft of our favorite busts. And to get things started off, we're going to go with Mac.
All right, a lot of pressure on this one. I'm not going to do the standard, we knew who we had at number one the whole time, like a lot of people do when they have been on the clock as long as I have. But I'm going to go Fergie's bust. If you're a Dan Patrick Show fan out there, you know that Dan Patrick Show in the Man Cave, they have a bust of Fergie's bust, which I'm not sure why or... I know she gave it to him, but I don't know why it was made. But she gave it to him after the fact. And he's pretty good friends with, what's her name? What's his name? Josh Duhamel? I can never say his last name. Her husband. He's pretty good friends with him. So whenever he's been on the show, it's a little awkward that he's got a big bronzed version of his wife's upper torso.
So. That's funny. I didn't realize they had that. Guess I'm not a Dan Patrick fan.
With the second pick, I am just going to pick an entire organization, and I'm going to go with the Browns. The NFL's
not this year. This year's different.
It's always this year, and it's always different.
But Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward is going to get them the Super Bowl this year. Super Bowl or bust, huh?
I get it.
Yeah. Because they're doing busts. Yeah, you get it. So mine is kind of along the same lines as Mac. My first pick is Annie Hawkins. She has the Guinness World Record for the largest natural breast in history. Her chest measured around is 70 inches, and Jesus. She wears a 52i bra because that's the largest bra that they make. So
holy shit,
yeah. That's a pretty big bust.
You know, I'm going to stick with the theme that you guys have set already. because on my list from my childhood, all-time bust, Pam Anderson. I mean...
Ooh, in more than one way.
So that is... I mean, I probably spent a little too much time as a kid thinking about Pamela Anderson.
Bust into her bust.
Yes. My second pick, wrapping it back around, he was selected in the second round of the Major League Baseball draft, and he was actually like 19 spots ahead of Hall of Famer Tony Gwynn, and this was in the 80s. And I don't know if you guys, you may not know the name or not, but it was a young guy by the name of John Elway, and he was selected by the Yankees and just never really made much of his baseball career. I don't know what happened to him after, but yeah, John Elway for the Yankees was a major bust.
Well, that's the problem with baseball. It's such a crapshoot because you get so many guys, and it's really hard to tell whose skill level is going to translate to the MLB. So, I mean, it's no wonder that he just fizzled out and never made anything of himself.
Yeah.
And it's a shame he didn't have another, you know, sport or potential career path that he could have held that over teams' heads when things weren't going well.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, a lot of people like to have those options, but I'll have to look up and see what he's up to.
Yeah, I don't know.
So my second pick is the Adiyogi Shiva sculpture. It's out in India. It is the largest bust sculpture in the world. It stands at 112 feet high, 82 feet wide, and 147 feet long. So
you sure it's not that Annie chick again? The measurements come pretty close.
That's right. So yeah, it's just a sculpture of the Hindu deity Shiva, and it's out there in the city of Coimbatore, India.
Shiva.
Yeah. So, world's largest bust sculpture.
I moved into the Hungry Hefe stuff. I moved into a food related bust. And you guys probably remember it from our childhood, the Wow chips that they came out with that had Olestra on them.
Nope.
Or
they caused anal
leakage.
Yeah, I remember.
They were known
to
cause. They found out that the Olestra oil that they were using on the chips actually caused. It was like a laxative effect, and it caused anal leakage. So Wow chips.
It's more of a leak than a bust, I would say.
It's true. But pretty terrible. Yeah, I remember those were huge when we were kids. But yeah.
I don't remember those at all.
I remember the phenomenon. I don't remember the Wow chips. I thought they were like the first version of
the
baked
It was the like
the
whole Olean or Olestra.
That's what
thing,
I thought too. Like I remember the name Olestra, but I don't remember what chips they were on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a whole like oil they used on chips for health, and it was known to be like a natural laxative.
Olestra sounds like a nice girl's name. I might name my next kid that.
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
That sounds nice.
That's nice.
Alrighty, for my second pick, I'm going to say I enjoyed this television show. It actually only lasted 3 seasons. And the reason I'm considering it a bust is because TBS hyped the hell out of it for months on end before it started, and that was 10 items or less.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that show at all. And it was a semi-scripted television show. It was kind of the way Curb Your Enthusiasm is, where there's a general theme or a path that they're going down, but it's up to the actors within reason. I'm sure there are some lines and some moments that are completely scripted. But it was pretty funny. It was set in a supermarket. I enjoyed it. I still watch it every now and then. I forget where I came across it. It wasn't even TBS. It was another weird small channel that was playing replays of it the one day.
Fuse used to play 10 items or less, I feel like.
But no, it was a good show. I enjoy it. And I'm only giving it the bust qualification because of the way that TBS hyped it up, and it didn't last more than 3 seasons. For my last pick, this may be the ultimate bust because you can't even say he got a shot. Len Bias.
Ooh.
I don't know if you consider it a bust as far as like because he didn't perform, but he died 2 days after he was picked in the NBA draft. So
yeah,
and I wasn't even doing that to be a dick. It was just
no.
You take him as your top guy, and he never even gets a chance to show up to work out. So.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my, probably one of my favorite 30 for 30s mm-hmm. that they had.
Was that's a without very bias. Good one. Yeah. Very sad, but, very good.
Yeah.
30 for yep. 30, though.
Yep. Sorry to bring it down there, but.
Yep.
Hey.
Mac just killed the mood.
Ball's in your court, Baker.
Jesus. Jesus yep. Christ.
The eight ball.
Jesus. With my final pick, I am going with the ultimate Cincinnati bust, and that's constantly being not even the second best in town, but just constantly being the worst option, literally, and that's Gold Star Chili. Mm-hmm. Just an ultimate letdown. Anytime you're at a Bengal game and Gold Star Chili is the option, it's just like, what yeah. the hell? So, yeah.
Can a seventh round
fix that yet?
Can a seventh round pick be a bust?
I know.
Yeah. Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. Yeah. Gold Star is Mr. Irrelevant if we're doing an NFL draft of restaurant franchises.
How do you say Mr. Irrelevant in Greek? Something OPA, I think.
They're all irrelevant over there.
Yeah. Oh.
Jesus. We just lost some fans.
Yeah, we had a lot of we had a big,
we're big,
big
in Greece,
fan
man.
Base. Yeah. So my last pick, this certainly isn't the biggest bust ever, but it's probably one of the more notable ones just because who was involved in it. But back in 1984, Colombian police raided a cocaine operation of Pablo Escobar's and seized 13.8 metric tons of cocaine worth about $1.2 billion. So that was a pretty big drug bust. And they've had, you know, bigger ones, but just with that being, you know, Pablo Escobar, I think that's what makes it most notable. So I think it's definitely worthy of a third round pick there.
Have you watched that show on Netflix at all?
I haven't, but I've
I watched the first couple episodes and it's really good, but it's just so long.
I feel like
also one of my favorite 30 for 30s is the two Escobars. Long as shit, but it's a pretty good one.
I don't feel like I need to go back and watch that on Netflix because I watched Entourage.
Medellin.
So I know how Medellin went, so I mean, if Fat Vinny Chase can't tell the story, I don't know if who can. So,
do you ever wish they would like go back and actually make the movies that they were?
Yeah,
like, he was in it.
Yeah,
so
that would be awesome.
Like, I'd like to see Medellin. I'd like to see Queens Boulevard,
Aquaman.
And I don't know how
I could do without Aquaman.
Nope, you're watching it, motherfucker.
He's the king of the ocean. That little nerdy kid. That's something that I honestly think that if Netflix was around back when Entourage was in its stride and it maybe not being an HBO show, I could see them doing spin-off like movies along with the series like they do with a lot of stuff on like if Adam Sandler was involved, I'm sure there'd be movies for everything on there.
Yeah.
Because I think Adam Sandler's got how many is it 10 or 12 movie
it's
deal?
Something crazy. He just
or something
put
like that with
Netflix. Chris Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
him and Chris Rock. Like another one just released like last week.
Really? I can't wait for Jack and Jill 2.
Oh my god! Me and DB watched that movie. We had a bro chill night, a couple wings from La Rosa's, and we watched Jack and Jill. And it was literally—I don't think we made it through the first 20 minutes of the movie.
It might be the worst movie I've ever
attempted
watched.
To watch it.
I think we watched 20 minutes of it and shut it off. And it was bad.
He always has Dan Patrick in his movies. I think he's up to like 12 now or something like that, or 18. It's
Dan
something
Patrick
crazy.
Always has funny cameos, too.
And he always has the Danettes in him now, too. And he said next time, and I guess this is a thing that Adam Sandler does for all of his friends, after they've been in a certain amount of movies with him, he buys them a car of their choosing, like whatever car they want. So Dan Patrick's due for his next car, or his car after the next movie. Nice. And, actually, all the Danettes, I think, are like two or three away. They were talking
like
about it. Yeah. So that's
like a company that gives you different like gifts for however many years. Like
here's your watch.
25 years, you get your grandfather clock. And that's funny.
So Hollywood's made off of sequels. Do you think he ever does any like sequels to like Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison?
Nah. Leave those alone.
Those are such like standalone classics that they need to stay where they're at. Like, I don't know if he would reprise those roles.
Yeah.
I'll wrap us up here with the final pick, and it goes a little bit along with Witty's. For the drug bust, I was sticking with like actual former NFL players, and back in 2017, just last year, Adrian Robinson, a tight end from the New York Giants, was busted with over 20 pounds of pot in his car when he got pulled over.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, you know, one of the, I guess an honorable mention would probably be Jerome Simpson of Bengals fame, back when he was busted with 2.5 pounds of weed that got delivered to his house in Northern Kentucky.
Dumbest back Bengal in 2011.
History. I still don't know why opposing fans don't mail drugs to other teams.
I know.
Yeah, like, right. Why are you saying that?
We've talked about that on another podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
we
like that
make
was
that a side business.
There we go. That'll be awesome. We'll start just shipping out. I'll be like Michael in The Office, just putting the caprese salad in someone's mail, thinking it's pot.
It's mine.
500 bucks seems fair.
So I'll throw out my two honorable mentions besides Jerome Simpson, but they're both sports related. Darko Milicic, back in the 2003 mm-hmm. NBA draft, was selected directly after LeBron, but he was before Carmelo, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. All those guys mm-hmm. were selected right after Darko, and he never did anything.
I was going to say, who?
Yeah, and then the guy that was famously selected right before Michael Jordan was Sam Bowie by the mm-hmm. Portland Trailblazers, and you know, his career didn't exactly work out. He had a bunch of knee injuries that he hid before he got drafted and just ended up not making very much of his career.
Yeah.
I had the most painful one that Mac had alluded to, Kajana Carter.
Yeah.
That one, I had seen my dad cry maybe 2 or 3 times in my lifetime, and Kajana Carter getting hurt was one of them. It was
when
you
ran out of White Castles. What was the other?
That was probably one of them. But that Kajana Carter, my dad legitimately was just devastated, like just rambling, like, "They're snake bit, man. I don't know what they're gonna do."
And I think this is probably more like my mind had it like formed like that this way, but it wasn't how it was in real life. But I feel like playing, I think what was it Madden 95 or whatever. If you were the Bengals and you did a season. Like, Kajana Carter would get hurt, like, the first play every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always had it in my head that that always happened. Yeah. And I probably just made that up, but it's funny to think that that's what happened.
That stupid carpet turf, man.
Yeah.
The shitty thing was that, like, he tore it, and then he still, like, you know, he was jogging on the sidelines, and everyone was like, oh, he'll be all right. You know, it's nothing major. And then it comes out, like, he even ran, like, 2 more plays after he tore his ACL. Yeah. And the next day, they're like, he had an MRI. He's done.
Yep.
Forever.
I had two honorable mentions. This one, it's kind of a two-parter. Mine was Mill Iron Sports t-shirts. We still haven't sold a single Wrigglemania t-shirt yet.
But there's still time.
There is still. There's still, like, just under 2 weeks left. And just Mill Iron Sports as a whole.
but there's still time.
There's still time. I felt like all the big media outlets were hyping us up as the next big thing, and we just haven't quite hit our stride yet. But someday,
that's right. We're sitting the bench the first year, learning from our predecessors, and
we're just waiting for an injury.
Yep, 2019. That's our season. So I had a couple.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had another one. I'm sorry.
Oh wow. Okay.
Wow.
I, mine's
Mighty,
actually
Mighty Mac. Go ahead.
Mine is actually, I guess, more of a future bust. I just went ahead and threw out Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. It's just Browns quarterbacks.
Yeah, just give him another.
I mean, a short mobile quarterback, that could work in Cleveland.
Well, not if he has a questionable personality, I don't think.
Right.
Small hands, and it's cold up there.
I like PFT's tweet of saying now the Steelers should just draft a bunch of cops as linebackers. Since Baker got caught from behind.
Yeah, so. Seriously.
All right, so the Bengals are about to be on the clock, Witty, so hurry up with your honorable mentions.
I know. We're trying to drag this out until the pick comes in. So one of mine was food-related. I think it was something that got hyped up and then just died pretty quickly. And that's McDonald's and their Mighty Wings. I don't know why McDonald's thought they were going to get into the wing game, but it didn't work out that. For them. So
it was just not a few that years long ago. Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
I yeah, tried. I never.
I didn't have them. I never tried them. They weren't around long enough.
They were just breaded. They weren't like you had dipping sauce. They weren't like they were basically their chicken tenders with bones in the middle.
For a while there, Wendy's had some pretty good boneless wings. I don't know if they still have them on the menu, but I liked Wendy's boneless wings.
They got tenders
when I went there. They still have those on the menu?
They got the tenders there with the awesome sauce or whatever they call it.
The awesome
sauce. Swassum or whatever.
Yeah. And then my last honorable mention, football related, and it's just there's so much hype around it. And there's actually, I mean, there's a chance for some comeback here. But the XFL, I feel like everybody thought the XFL was going to be huge. It was going to compete with the NFL, and it only lasted one season, then it fizzled out. So, you know, they're bringing it back. So we'll see if they can learn from their previous mistakes and actually make this last. I hope they can, because I think more football is a good thing. But
it's comeback season.
Yep, comeback season.
Oh, I got it. Wow.
Since the Jungle says it's Billy Price.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, apparently
that's a reach.
I mean,
well, with his Peck thing getting released though.
I mean, he's a great player, great center. I mean, he won the Remington. So
yeah.
But I just, like I said, I figured they probably could have waited and gotten him later if they wanted to jump up into the late third or late first, early second. They probably could have done that if they wanted to trade, but. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen them get either, like I said, Daniels or Jackson. I think those were the two that made the most sense there. So, like I said, I think he's going to
be either of the three, though, I'd be okay with. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'll be a solid center for them for years as long as he can stay healthy. But, I'm surprised by it. I don't hate it.
I liked because he was a guard also. And I think Daniels might have played a little guard too.
Price was a guard.
I was
going to
say, maybe
year.
Even Billy. Yeah, Price did too. Never mind.
Because he did the same thing that I always forget his name, the guy before him. The guy before him at Ohio State moved from guard
Green
to
Bay.
Center and then won the Remington. Now he's in Minnesota.
Which, didn't Ohio State have a center go to Green Bay too?
I don't know. All right, now here's.
Interesting.
Yep, that is interesting. That's not what I expected.
Yeah. I don't hate the pick, but I don't think it was the best use of that pick.
No.
I don't know. I don't know much about Billy Price.
They haven't really given us much to not trust them lately, so.
Yeah.
I mean, the away he picked and then some of the DBs that they've picked have been maybe a little bit of a reach, but.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I saw this coming, but it also not upset by it either necessarily.
It's not what we talked about. It's not a
project
cornerback.
I just hate not having the sexy pick. Like, I hate not having like he's going to make a huge difference in the protection of Dalton and the run game and everything. So it'll make everyone else look better. But
he's way better than Bodine.
I hate getting a position like that. And this is just stupid, but I liked seeing the playmaker, like the home run hitter, get drafted.
It's not a sexy pick.
Yeah. But, oh, well. So, everyone, thanks for sticking around for that as we gave you the Bengals draft pick in real time, 24, or about probably 12 hours before you're listening to this. So, if you haven't been online or haven't turned on the radio or watched TV, breaking news, Billy Price of Ohio State has been drafted, and he will probably be slated as the starter at center as quick as they get his name printed on a little magnet for the depth chart. So,
hey,
probably tomorrow morning.
We just shipped out one Price in Cincinnati and brought a new one in, so hopefully the price is right.
Think about that. Well, I mean, we already kind of know what Hefe is going to be looking forward to this weekend.
Draft.
He alluded draft. I don't really have a whole lot going on this weekend. I'm looking forward to maybe a weekend without some rain so I can actually do some stuff outside for a change.
It's supposed to be nice this weekend.
Yeah, so that's my hopes there. So
I got the NBA playoffs tonight. I got the draft this weekend. I'll, you know, it's going to be another TV watching kind of weekend, even though, I mean, the draft, I kind of like, I know Hefe says that he watches it pretty much always, but I'm more of a wait till Saturday night and see all the players that the Bengals got, because I don't really know many of the other ones. I'll just see who they filled the roster out with, and, you know, I'll read the in-depth analysis of the guys that we picked up. I don't really care in real time to know, because I don't pay a ton of attention to college football to begin with, so I'll wait till Saturday to know who we got.
I guarantee you I get a call either tonight or sometime during the day tomorrow from T-Bone's dad asking me what I think about the Bengals draft. It happens every year.
I'm going to listen to the fucking podcast.
It happens every year, and I love it, so I'm not saying it's a negative, because my dad used to do that too, so I appreciate it. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to T-Bone's dad at some point this weekend too.
So I'm looking forward to something on Tuesday of next week. Fortnite season four starts up.
Oh.
Thanks for listening.
Happy birthday, Blake Bortles.
As always, you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. We're everywhere at Mill Iron Sports. I'm Natty Boy DB. We got Hungry Hefe, Mill Iron Witty, and at Benny Mac Blogs. Holler at us.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.